Yeah, I love hearing the laughter. The first time I heard laughter in the rooms, like I thought there wasn't going to be any more laughter. I really didn't. I thought that's over, but I again have to make some changes. So whatever it's going to be, because I was desperately isolating and just what happened? Where did all my friends go? And all of a sudden, here comes everybody.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Welcome. It's the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour, featuring the collected voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Sam, an alcoholic in plain sponge, Palm Springs, California.
And I'm Alice, an alcoholic at large.
Ooh, that sounds like it might be a bad news report. Alice, it's a new month, and you know what that means.
Yes, it means a new grapevine is here.
Yes, but not only that, it's the 80th anniversary of the Grapevine Magazine.
Woohoo!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Grapevine!
Hit it, boys!
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday to Grapevine!
Happy birthday to you!
And many.
It's amazing that 80 years have passed since six ink-stained wretches started this wonderful, vital AA 12-step tool. And oh, how we've grown. We have a terrific new app.
This fun weekly podcast.
Yep, this is more fun, certainly, than doing it with Don. Thank you, Alice.
Come on now.
Hey!
We also now have Instagram. We also now have Instagram, YouTube.
And a whole library of books that carry AA's message to millions of alcoholics around the globe.
To celebrate this historic occasion, this month we're featuring stories by members about how much Grapevine has meant to them. In Saved in Honduras, a nursing student finds herself far away in tequila hell. She tells how the Grapevine came to her rescue.
And Hooked, a woman isn't ready to stop drinking until one day someone hands her a copy of the Grapevine.
And a huge fan celebrates with this clever article, 80 Reasons I Love Grapevine. And as always at the first of the month, we'll have a conversation with someone whose story is in this issue, but that's for a little bit later.
And that's right. We're celebrating our 80th year.
Woohoo!
We've asked Grapevine staff, what is particularly meaningful to you about working here?
Have you ever had an aha moment? That kind of thing.
Let's listen to their reflections. It's about 7 minutes.
This is Teddy from Oakland. So I was at a Living Sober roundup. Between workshops, I got chatting to a friend of mine. He sponsors a lot of guys in AA. He said that he just started sponsoring a young guy who was African-American, and he really struggling finding materials and things to share with him. And I reached in my bag, and I pulled out the Grapevine issue, August 2019, People Like Me. And I'll never forget how the tears filled my friend's eyes. And he grabbed it, and he said, I'm so grateful. I'm going to share this with him right away. And so, you know, now I have 10 of those back issues, because you can buy back issues, and I keep them for moments like that. You never know when, you know, the Grapevine is going to be that 12-step message that the person needs.
Happy birthday, Grapevine. My name is Jonathan. I am the production manager here at A Grapevine and Lavinia. So my story came very early on when I started. I attended one of my very first general service conferences in the city, and just seeing a lot of members go up on stage and tell their story of recovery and sobriety is very inspirational for me. You know, someone from the outside looking in and just hearing these stories of hitting rock bottom and, you know, putting yourself back together and getting your life back in order is really touching. Just seeing it in person and, you know, someone on stage speaking to the audience is just more three-dimensional, and you could see the emotion in their eyes, and it's a beautiful thing. And to see any individual, regardless of culture, background, or gender, being able to get their life back in order through AA and everything that it provides is really something else.
Happy 80th birthday, Grapevine.
My name is Joyce, and I am the current chair of AA Grapevine and a Class B alcoholic. And I received an email from a reader from a woman who had been struggling with alcohol addiction for years, feeling isolated and hopeless. She shared how reading stories in the Grapevine had given her a glimmer of hope and the courage to seek help for the first time. Reading her words, I felt a wave of emotion wash over me. Here was tangible evidence that the stories we published were not just words on a page. They were lifelines, reaching out to individuals in their darkest moments and offering them a beacon of hope. I now understand that our mission wasn't just about publishing a magazine. It was a moment that touched my heart and forever changed the way I viewed the impact of our collective efforts.
Happy birthday, Grapevine. My name is Gabriela, and I am the editorial assistant of La Viña. Working in AA is an historical experience. When I told my family and friends that I work at the Alcoholics Anonymous magazine, more than one of them looked at me with an ironic look and even a laugh. My reputation as a beer connoisseur during my 20s made it somewhat ironic, but my mom told me, it's not a coincidence. AA has been a mirror in which I would never have looked at myself if I had not arrived here. I am where I am supposed to be.
Hi, my name is Julia, and I'm an alcoholic. I joined the Grapevine staff this past October, and since then I've had countless interactions with people telling me how they count on Grapevine to help them carry the message to newcomers or how they use it themselves when they can't get to a meeting. Lately I've been struggling with some difficult amends that I need to make, and because it's been a minute since I've done a proper 9-step, I thought I'd look in the Grapevine archive. I found a story from last year. He talks about having to go to a funeral out of town to make some very difficult amends. He found himself making amends he'd never planned to make, and the whole event was one of healing and forgiveness. I needed a 9-step refresher. I needed some inspiration and encouragement, and this Grapevine story gave me just that.
Happy birthday, Grapevine. My name is Niurka. I am the digital publishing manager for Grapevine and La Viña. I realized that someone could benefit from our websites. It was, for me, an aha moment. My work was meaningful and had a positive impact on people's life. Thank you for the opportunity and feliz cumpleaños, Grapevine.
Happy birthday, Grapevine. My name is Kimberly, and I have recently joined the Grapevine team as the new office manager. I thought it would be great to work for a corporation that is altruistic. Many people think that I'm crazy for leaving a comfortable work-from-home position and going to a 2-hour commute. I personally feel that I walk with purpose every day. When I go home every day, my heart is full knowing that I'm part of something that helps people stay sober. And I'm truly grateful for this opportunity.
Hi, my name's Nikki, and I'm one of the non-trustee directors for the Grapevine. Early in sobriety, I moved to a remote community in Maine. Meetings were, on most evenings, 30 miles or so away. So we filled the car with newcomers, long-timers, and everyone in between. We had a driver who volunteered a passenger to read a joke out of Wits End from one of the many issues of the Grapevine we had stashed in the pockets of the seats. It helped us all. Regardless of the mood that preceded the reading, we laughed and we connected.
How many Al-Anons does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. They just detach and let it screw itself.
We were practicing Rule 62, not taking ourselves too seriously. Sometimes those miles together kept people from taking a drink. Some of our riders thought we were a little nutty, and maybe we were, but we needed laughter. I still do. We quickly learned Rule 63 on those rides. Don't take others too seriously either. Happy birthday, and thank you, Grapevine.
Hi, this is John W., Editor-in-Chief, AA Grapevine. I think the thing that touches me most working at Grapevine is sitting and reading stacks of letters from prison from our incarcerated members. Many of them make me cry. They're talking about sponsoring one another and trying to help each other in prison. I mean, it's hard enough to get sober. Imagine getting sober in prison with all the chaos and the drugs and the drama that goes on. Many of these members don't even have meetings in their prison, and they're thanking Grapevine for being there because that's all they have. I think that's the thing that touches me more than anything.
Wow. I am so glad that we got to hear from so many people who work at Grapevine. That
is really beautiful.
And I love that it's just also the fact that we've got run-of-the-mill alcoholics working at Grapevine, too.
Of course. Not everybody that works there is an alcoholic, right? And so I don't know why that was a newsflash to me. Beautiful conglomeration of people in the program and people coming to bring their talent to us. It was lovely.
Happy birthday, Grapevine. That was a treat.
Absolutely.
Now we have another treat, an AA history snippet. Miley T, amateur AA historian, is bringing us a 5-minute portrait of the creation of the Grapevine way back in 1944.
My name is Miley, and I'm an alcoholic, and I live in San Francisco. Today, I'd like to talk about the history of the AA Grapevine, which was first published in June of 1944. As of this recording, in June of 2024, it has been published continuously for 80 years. That's 960 issues without interruption. When you think about 1944, World War II is raging. In fact, the month of the first issue is when D-Day happened. Bill W. wrote,
"One of the first thoughts was that it might prove particularly helpful for our members in the service."
He goes on to say that Central Office had kept track of approximately 300 members who were away at war. The AA Grapevine was started by 4 women and 2 men. The first person was Lois K., not to be confused with Lois W., Bill's wife and co-founder of Al-Anon. Lois K., an alcoholic in New York, described how it all came about in a June 1954 Grapevine. She was worried that as AA grew, there was a lack of understanding among the new groups. She went to see Bill W. at Stepping Stones. That's the home where he and Lois moved to in 1941 and where they lived the rest of their lives. By the way, it's in Katona, New York, and you can still visit the historic home of Bill and Lois Wilson. You just go to steppingstones.org. So there's Lois K. going to talk to Bill about the idea of a publication. Lois K. wrote that Bill
was sprawled full length on the floor in front of the old cobblestone fireplace. Bill turned lazily over on his side and said, "What exactly is on your mind, Sister Lois?"
She said,
"Harmony between groups through knowledge and understanding." "Go to it," said Bill, "and blessings on you."
So Lois K. turned to 2 of her AA friends who had experience writing and editing magazines, Marty M. and Priscilla P., who were a couple for 40 years. Marty would later write AA Big Book story, Women Suffer Too. Felicia G., AA Big Book author of Stars Don't Fall, wrote,
"In Marty and Priscilla's New York apartment, they first talked about a magazine devoted to AA and alcoholism. It would be about 8 pages, rather like a tabloid, with beautiful print that would be easy to read. Priscilla, who was the art editor of Vogue, designed the title page."
If you've ever seen images of the original Grapevine format, it was Priscilla who drew the grapes, hanging on the vines of the masthead. They were soon joined by Grace O., Chase H., and Abbott T., and they hashed out issues such as format, editorial policy, and finances. Lois K. wrote,
"Imagine, 6 alcoholic prima donna editors. I often wonder why we didn't go all out and get drunk. But, well, the coffee pot was always on. And besides, our battles were family fights among people united by a strong bond of common interest, love, and AA. So, though nerves were often jangled and disagreements waxed hot, through much laughter and more tears, there emerged a closeness and camaraderie which has tied us all closely together through the years."
June issue 1944, Bill W. wrote a very comical article. It begins,
"In a smoke-filled room, six ink-stained wretches sipped at their cokes as I shot question after question at them."
It goes on and on. I'd encourage everyone to check out the AA Grapevine archives online. You can read all 960 grapevines from 1944 to present day. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but you can access the archives when you get either the complete subscription or the digital subscription. I'm kind of AA nerdy, and honestly, I browse through the archives like all the time. Wouldn't it be amazing if those six ink-stained wretches could see how it is in 2024? That we can use a phone or a computer from anywhere in the world and read their words from 1944 onward.
I have chills. That was fantastic. Alice, I've got a dare for you. I dare you to read every issue of The Grapevine from 1944 to present in order in 1 year. Can you do it?
Absolutely not. What a beautiful, beautiful snippet. I really enjoyed that. And we don't really think about all of the sacrifices, all the coffee, all the tears, all of the work to produce all 984? What did she say?
I think that was it. Over 900. It was a lot.
And here we are today, the ability to just pull it up on our phones. And what a legacy. We have been unbroken in our publication for 80 years.
And you know, one of the things that's so cool is that each one of those is a snapshot in time.
Absolutely.
Our fellowship was.
Yeah.
And another thing that's so cool is the commonality of our disease and our solution transcends that time too. There are articles from decades ago that serve us today.
That's right. Relevant right now. You know, Bill used the grapevine to introduce the traditions. Mm-hmm. And we are the collected voices of the members. This isn't anyone on high. This is us.
It surely is.
So, Sam, who's our guest today?
Alice, today we have a lot of guests. First is the author of Mr. Popular on page 38 of the June 2024 issue. We'll meet Steve W. from Sechelt, British Columbia.
And after that, we'll talk to Matt and Kara, two of the organizers of the upcoming ICKIPA conference in Austin, Texas, July 4th weekend, 2024. For those that don't know, that is the International Conference of Young People in AA.
I tell you, this time, the half hour variety hour is really going to live up to its name. Happy birthday, Grapevine!
June 1944 to 2024, 80 wonderful years.
Help us celebrate. Get your groups and areas involved.
Tell everyone about our exciting new app.
And subscribe to the app.
Send us your story.
Hold a Grapevine workshop.
Become a Grapevine rep.
Get your group or district to hold a Grapevine event.
Use Grapevines in your AA meeting.
Give your sponsee or a newcomer a Grapevine subscription.
Tell people about this podcast.
Send us a beautiful photo for our Instagram account.
Join our Carry the Message project.
Get your group to support Grapevine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. My name's Steve. I'm an alcoholic living on the Sunshine Coast of British Columbia in a town called Sechelt. And I have 2 wonderful years of sobriety, and I have a great sponsor named Will S., and my home group is the Thanksgiving Sunday Night Group.
Well, Steve, so I read your story in The Grapevine, page 38 of the June 2024 issue, and one of the things that stood out to me is you said at your first meeting, they gave you a Grapevine magazine, and that you related to those stories that were in there. Is that why you decided to write in for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was partially that. I'm also, you know, admittedly a bit of an overachiever. I like to kind of stay busy and do things. So when I read that the Grapevine was looking for people in new sobriety, I mean, I had like 19 days. I didn't, you know, I didn't know early sobriety meant to some people like 10 years, you know what I mean? It depends. but I related to it so much. And I mean, I didn't know there was such a thing as a big book. I didn't know anything about AA recovery, you know, as a lot of people don't. So I was just very surprised when I got the Grapevine and I was given the big book, and the stories just, they were my story. And also I just was so like kind of surprised, like how come I never came across this or never searched this out? Because a big part of my life has been alcohol. So why, you know, how come I never read any other stories of people that were obsessed with it? And I finally felt, you know, part of, as they say.
I hear you. So what was happening that would drive you to check out Alcoholics Anonymous?
Well, the thing, I guess, that brought me in, I had a friend who was in the program, and I knew that he'd been in for about 6 years. And I was always sort of like, well, he seems like he's happy and he seems like he's living his life. Like, I don't understand how that's possible, you know, because I didn't understand how you live a life without drinking. You know, I really didn't understand how it was possible. So I had an event. I'm a musician, and I had a concert happening that weekend where I had brought together my old drinking buddies, basically, that played music for this big concert. And leading up to the concert, I started to have so much anxiety about how much drinking there was going to be. I mean, on one hand, I was looking forward to it, but then I just started like obsessing about the after party and how, were we going to have enough and where were we going to go in the day and, you know, and all this stuff. I was buying, you know, bottles of expensive tequila and sending photos to the band. Like, look, I've bought the, you know, it's like 2 months out from the show. Like, I couldn't just go to the liquor store the night before. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. That's some serious preparation.
Yeah, I was building it up. And so I had decided that after this concert, because I'd been steadily drinking more and more near the end, especially. And I decided I was going to go on a big, you know, bender weekend with these guys. And then after that, I was going to take a month off, because there's no need for me to drink that much after a bender weekend like that, you know? So it was almost a threat to myself that if I can't do it, I'm going to get help. And I thought, well, then that'll work, because I'm certainly not going to go into AA or do anything crazy like that. And
that is a little drastic.
So it was a threat, right? It was a total threat to myself. And I lasted a day and found myself drinking. It's not even like, you know, 2 days shy of the month. It was one day, and something happened. And something happened in me that was like, I have a problem and I need to stop now. The moment came and I put it down, went in.
Wow.
So you knew that AA exists, but it just seemed like this drastic option.
Yeah, I've joked in the program that, you know, my sponsor could have had me doing his laundry and going to church every morning if that's what it took. Like, I gave up. I was like, I don't know what to do. I've tried to stop on my own so many times. I was so tired of it. I was so exhausted and feeling manic that, you know, why can't I do this? I can do a lot of other things in my life, and I've done a lot of things in my life. So why can't I do this? And it was just always confusing. And I just thought AA was going to be a group of miserable people gathering, you know, around a miserable altar, just going, oh, it's just, I hate that I got to be here. Yeah, me too. But let's all be miserable together. You know, I had no idea.
And that's not been the experience, has it?
Of course not. It was very surprising. The first person I saw was somebody that I actually used to play music with. And he had such a sparkle in his eye. Like, he looked great.
Yeah.
And that struck me. I was like, wow, like, A, you're here. And B, you look like really good.
You know, I think that that's a really key thing to know, is that, you know, sometimes we see somebody that we know when we go to that first meeting or for early meetings. And first of all, there's no reason to be afraid of seeing somebody that you know in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, because they're there for the same reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it also kind of makes it a little more accessible in some ways of like, I know this guy, I can trust him.
Well, and the fact we can joke about things too. And there was another friend who I was like, oh, I'm really good to see you. And then, and I've told them this, and the next thought was, oh, it's really good that you're here. you know, because I knew I drank with him. I knew what was going on with him.
I know how bad you are.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bill is known to have said, if I ever get as bad as Ebby, I'll stop. Right? Like, we've all got these people that we drink with and we think, well, we're not as bad as them. And if we're lucky, we show up in Alcoholics Anonymous and there they are to greet us.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite sayings that I've heard. Alcoholics are the only people that can judge other people from the ditch.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I just love that because it's like, oh, someone should better, you know, they better kind of figure what's going on with themselves over there. Meanwhile, you know, I'm just a mess.
What is the most surprising thing about Alcoholics Anonymous to you?
So I appreciate the question. The fact that I was so wrong about something really makes me wonder what else I'm wrong about.
What a great answer.
Yeah, I've really sort of thought a lot about that because I just really was so humbled and so wrong about what I expected it to be that it's really opened me up to, well, just being more open to what else is happening in the world that I could or in my life that I might be wrong about because I certainly was wrong about this. You know, people have sort of commented in the program that it seems like I have more years than I do because I'm just coming up on 2 years. But I was so ready to come in. Like I was, I don't want to say thirsty for the program. I guess I could, but I honestly was just, I was so exhausted and looking for a way to be part of for so long that I just came in and it was just like a huge exhale of like, finally, whatever this is, I can get on with my life. I just immediately felt like I was in the middle of real life, finally.
The irony of it, right? The gift of surrender leads us finally to victory. Like, it's ironic.
To that sense of comfort that we've been looking for so long.
For so long. It's just, it was such a surprise. And, you know, and then the things I heard in there immediately, because I came in going, okay, well, I'm going to get some better lighting in here and come in with some better chairs. People are going to be a lot, you know, we'll have some ambient music happening. People are really going to be happy that I'm in this program. And then the story in the big book was like self-centeredness and wanting to control everything is our problem. And I'm like, oh.
Bleepity bleep.
Okay. Right. Got me.
You know, and it's just been funny of saying, I don't know that I'm into doing like that step six and somebody's like, we know it's okay. You know, it's okay. You'll be ready when you get there. It's just been a wonderful journey.
I love that.
I'm so happy for your gift of finding the Grapevine very early in your recovery and finding the big book.
Like right away, I was given the big book and Grapevines. Like, you know, my second meeting. The first meeting I went to was a speaker meeting. Mm-hmm. And then the next meeting was a regular meeting, which is now my home group. Yeah, I left with hands full of literature. And got home and just devoured.
It's really an odd experience to read these things and see myself in them.
Yeah. Especially when they were written in 1939, right? They're written in 1950. And you're like, where have you been all my life?
I know. It's just amazing. And then even in the rooms, the shares. I mean, yesterday somebody shared about feeling like Captain Dan in the top of the boat in the Forrest Gump movie, you know, when he's fighting God and he's screaming and everything. And I went up to her at the end. I said, I've literally shared that exact whole share you just said. Like, it was uncanny. It was like listening to myself at another meeting because I was like, that's exactly how I've described myself.
I'm curious, having submitted a story to the Grapevine, how difficult was it to write that?
Well, it was sort of easy for me because I'm a writer. So, I mean, like I'm a songwriter and a writer. I've been that my whole life in tandem with drinking. One of the reasons is, you know, you get to drink for free and you get to drink in bars. That was a big plus, I think. But no, so I'm kind of writing things all the time. I just saw it and I think I literally read it and opened a pages and started writing and I wrote it down, you know? And especially because through this program, what I've even early on learned, I had such a desire to just be honest and share who I really was because I was masking a lot of it for a long time, you know, where people would, you know, how's it going? And just, you're living the dream. And I'd be like, yep, three thumbs up. I'm just doing great. Everything's just great. And I didn't feel like I could tell people that I was struggling and I was in trouble and the bridge was too far. I didn't know how to sort of start telling people that I was in trouble. And so when I came in, I was just like, it was a yard sale. I was just throwing everything out. Here we go, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Steve, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about your recovery and for submitting that article to the Grapevine that's in the June 2024 issue, the 80th birthday of the Grapevine issue.
Thank you, guys.
Steve shared one of his songs with us. Keep listening after the show to hear it. Now let's meet Matt and Kara and hear a little bit about the upcoming ICKYPA conference in Austin, Texas in July 2024.
My name is Matt. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 24th, 2006, and I am from Hutto, Texas.
Hi, my name's Kara. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since November 2nd, 2012, and I'm living in Austin, Texas.
Let's jump into it. What is it that was going on in your life that made you come to AA?
I actually originally came to AA whenever I was 15 years old, not as an alcoholic. So I got hospitalized for an overdose. I was on probation. I was pending going to juvenile drug court, and I was drinking pretty much daily at that point. And so I was first introduced to AA whenever I was 15. Got sober for a little while and then went back out. I stayed dry for a little bit, and then I got sober at 19. And by the time I was 19, I had burned pretty much every bridge in my life. I burned every bridge with my family, every friendship. I would move from friend group to friend group. I moved an hour away from where I was living in Louisiana to another place and went to college. All of my plans and devices of what I thought I was going to do to be able to control and enjoy my drinking did not work. It was not even the lowest bottom that I'd had up to that point, which was an interesting thing. It was just whenever I gave up. We talk about bottoms a lot. It's just I realized that there was no way of getting out of it and drinking successfully anymore. At the end of it, the last time I got arrested, I was drinking at home. And I told myself that night that if I just drank at home, I wouldn't get arrested. And I got arrested. And a lot of my stuff is legal stuff, but also on outside of the external part of me having a lot of run-ins with the law, just the internal, just complete hopelessness of knowing that whenever I leave my apartment, whenever I was in college that time, whenever I was 19 and getting sober, that I would drink. You know, something would happen. I'd end up somewhere where I would drink and I had no control over it. And I just wanted a new way. And then I was given the ultimatum to either go back to jail or go to a halfway house. And that was August 24, 2006. And I haven't had a drink since. And I was just willing to do whatever it took. And that's what was different this time. I just did everything that people told me to do, every suggestion. And getting sober young was very interesting, but it became very easy once I gave up and surrendered.
You know, Matt, what I appreciate about the way that you laid it out, not only just the clarity, but you distinguishing, it's not that it was the lowest bottom, it's that it was the greatest willingness.
Yeah, it really is the desire to want a new way of life.
Kara, can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Oh, man. Matt and I would not have gotten along while we were drinking because I was the goody two shoes version of the alcoholic. I come from, you know, good upbringing. I was at a prestigious school in Boston studying when I got sober. But in the few years that I was up there leading into when I got sober at age 21, things were getting out of control. And I don't mean getting out of control in terms of the consequences looking like the law consequences that Matt was talking about, or, you know, no DWIs, no lost marriages, none of those checkbox things we sometimes hear about in meetings. But I was somebody that had always been able to set my will to something and be able to get it done. And I was getting increasingly frustrated at the fact that no matter what I tried to do, no matter how I tried to manage it, I wasn't able to stop drinking once I started. You know, as a young woman, you can't tell this by listening to me, but I'm pretty short. I'm under 5 feet. And so I was walking around in places where I really had no business being. And so I was in a pretty big party school. A lot of people around me were drinking a lot, but it was clear that the way that I was drinking was different than how they were drinking, not in terms of the quantities, but in terms of the motivation and what it was doing for me. And so I hadn't known anybody that had gotten sober. Nobody in my life had tried to stop drinking at that point. I ended up getting referred to AA by a professional. Like, thank God for our PICPC folks, because I had a therapist tell me about Alcoholics Anonymous when I was about 30 days sober because I was holding on for dear life. Mm-hmm. I found a meeting where there were some young people in it. That wasn't the majority at that meeting, but they had at least, you know, something that seemed in common with me. And I was able to hold on to that for a little while. And what I found is that, you know, the pain that I was in leading into AA and, you know, coming in the door, it really didn't matter, because even though I put up a temper tantrum about absolutely every suggestion that they handed my way, like, that pain was enough motivation for me to still do the thing anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that gift of desperation was something I really had.
I really relate to your story. My story is much more like yours than that. I had, you know, no DUIs, no, like, you know, I got here at 26 and I was like, well, I still have all my teeth, right? Like, that was the thing for me, as if that mattered. And it was the internal stuff. It was that my soul was just on fire. You know, I would love to hear from you, Matt. Can you describe the moment that you knew AA was the answer? Because you had a sober dad. So I'm imagining you thought, like, that's not for me.
Yeah, I was very biased against AA and religion, all the things that my dad was involved with, just because of the resentment against my dad. And ironically, he was one of the bigger resentments that I had whenever I did my inventory. Going through the amends with him was a really powerful experience, because not only was he an alcoholic, he had outside issues and other things just unresolved. He died 26 years sober and just had a lot of unresolved stuff, right? Essentially, I went to him, made the amends, and he started bringing up his own stuff, and I redirected it, and I got through that amends without having an argument with him. And that amends really, like, changed it, because up to that point, I had a lot of doubts. I spent the first 18 months doubting whether or not this was going to work for me. I spent very early on working the steps saying, I don't think this is going to work, but because I see it work in other people, I'm just going to do it. You know, like, this was my only chance. It was either I was going to go to prison, or I was going to die from alcoholism. And so I just did it. And I think that moment was a really powerful experience for me to see, like, internally I was changing because I was reacting differently. And I was able to steer that conversation in a way, hey, Dad, I'm here to clear my side of the street. I'm willing to hear all the other things that you want to talk about that don't have to do with this amends, but I really just want to make this right with you. And I moved to Texas. He got diagnosed with cancer, and I was able to be there on his deathbed and watch members of AA go into his home and tell me all the wonderful things that he had did for them. And so that was such a powerful amends. And I got to have a relationship with my father after that amends. And I saw just the miracles of AA. Yeah. That was the moment for me.
I mean, talk about the miracles of Alcoholics Anonymous. For anybody that has never been to a WIPA, the best organized events in all of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know that IKIPA is going to be fire in 4th of July this year, but can you talk about how you got from I'm drunk to I am in a leadership position at the International Conference of Young People in AA?
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty similar journey for both Matt and I. We both got thrown into service pretty early on. We started getting involved in conferences. I was just told to show up and stick to my commitments. There was one point I tried to back out of being the secretary of the district because I thought it was boring. My sponsor made me go make amends, right? I learned, you know, how to do these things as a 23-year-old, right? And then continuing through, when I moved to Austin, I got involved with the International Conference for Young People in AA, mostly because somebody pulled me in. They said, hey, we need some more women on this committee with a little bit of time and, you know, flatter my ego a little bit. And I'm there. Just like most alcoholics, we sometimes need a personal invitation. And I was the chair when we were bidding to bring the conference to Austin. But Matt had been the chair in prior bid years and then is the chair again now. And I think a lot of it for me is great sponsorship, having people I can talk to about all three legacies, not just steps. I read Bill's essay on leadership because I really need it.
Yeah, I mean, I got voluntold to be the coffee chair for the state convention in Area 27 whenever I was about a year and a half, 2 years sober. And it wasn't until I was about 7 or 8 years sober that I actually served on a young people's conference, and I was chair of that. And it was Baltimore, IKIPA in 2018 that I saw, like, them present. I was just inspired that I wanted to be a part of something that did something like that. I got in a lot of people's ears of saying we really should bid for this. And I just thought like this interaction at, you know, the level of like Iggy Paul was so cool that we had these people here asking for input for things that really, you know, set the course for AA as a whole. I guess for me, service related wise, I love all three legacies, right? But the service part of it, I just see how much it really, in the fold of how it affects everything else, it makes 12-step work possible. And so I'm really passionate about it. That's not to say that I don't have sponsees that I sponsor or do other things.
Well, you know, passionate just, I think, is one of the most apt descriptors of my experience of people in WIPA. IKIPA, the 64th in Austin, Texas in July. What should we know about it?
Well, it's July 4th weekend. It's the 4th through the 7th in downtown Austin at the JW Marriott, which is a perfect place to be if you're wanting to see all the festivities that are happening for the holiday weekend as well. But we'll have plenty of stuff going on inside the hotel. There's a room rate for $189 a night where you're able to stay there for the whole weekend and hear a lot of great speakers, panels. There's a lot of entertainment lined up. And if for some reason you're not able to join us in person, whether it's because you have kids that you can't find childcare for, you're not able to travel or whatever it might be, we do have for the first time ever an online hybrid experience of IKIPA. Oh. And so both of those registration options are available at IKIPA.org.
And how do you spell that?
ICYPAA.org.
You got it.
Awesome. Showing up in person is obviously more preferable.
Yes. Yes. The experience of being in that ballroom on Saturday night, seeing 3,000 young people just having the time of their life is something that you'd want to experience.
It is an experience not to be missed.
Truly. Yeah.
Not to mention the tacos, the barbecue, the water, Sixth Street, live music, all the things that are literally walking distance from the hotel. It's just a beautiful area of downtown Austin.
And I'm sure you've got some special things planned too.
Yeah, tons of entertainment. The speakers are great. We have two speakers on Thursday night. We have the Grapevine, which is going to be there as well. We have the Southwestern Regional Trustee that will be there as well. We have several different panel topics or workshops, you know, and just a wide variety of speakers. And so we're really excited.
Matt and Kara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks to everyone who subscribes to The Grapevine Magazine, in print or in the AA Grapevine app. Your support makes this podcast possible.
I'm at the very wit's end. Cuckoo.
Hello.
Is this the helpline for alcoholics?
Why, yes it is.
Oh, good. How do you make a mojito?
It's really not that funny. Thanks for joining us. The AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour is posted every Monday and is produced by AA Grapevine, Inc. We don't speak for AA as a whole. We share the experience, strength, and hope of members to help others recover from alcoholism. Podcast info, including how to call in, is at aagrapevine.org/podcast. Search AA Grapevine in the App Store on your phone or find AA Grapevine on Instagram and YouTube. All things Grapevine are available at aagrapevine.org. If you want to know more about AA, search online for Alcoholics Anonymous in your city or visit AA.org.
That was freaking amazing.
Wasted, I was always wasted, strung out, I was always gone, loaded, slurring at the party, tired, sleeping on the lawn. I was on a full-time vacation from the truth. trying to recapture a version of my youth. Hosting another pity party, doing laundry with a drink in my hand. Only sitting in the darkness and waiting, waiting for the end. I was on a bender that doubled as a full-time job. Now I'm meeting people named Wendy and Bob. I came in the rooms and I left it all behind. I reclaimed my life and my mind. I came in the rooms and I discovered what I know to be true. One of you. I was scared when I came here. I'm less scared now. Honest, I could not be honest with anyone, especially myself. They said I had a massive ego, but I forgave them as I burned their houses down. I was not aware that I was living a lie. I thought that it was normal. You can scream and cry. And I came in the rooms and I wondered why it took me so long. I feel better now and I feel strong. Yeah, I came in the rooms and I discovered what I know. True, I'm one of you.